and welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You're listening to the series, Bloom Where You're Planted. And now with the word, here's Beverly.
I love what John 10:10 says. It says this in the Amplified Bible. The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Are you living in that kind of life today? Is your life an abundant overflowing of the life of Christ? I want to tell you that it really is possible to live like that. It is. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he has come that we might have life and have it in abundance. And so it's like Tracy said, we've got to focus in on life and not focus in on the devil. Recognize the devil when he comes, but don't focus in on him. I was walking into meeting this afternoon, and a lady said to me, last night God set me free. Number one, he healed my back, but he set me free from the spirit of rejection. She said, I went home and I was just rejoicing and I was just rejoicing and I was just praising God. And I got into the door and my husband asked me, well, how was it? And he said, and she said, it was wonderful. I got healed, my back got healed, and I got set free from the spirit of rejection. And he just went right on to the next question. It's like it wasn't even any big deal to him. And she said, immediately the enemy tried to put that stuff right back on her. She said, well, you see, he wasn't even really interested. You see how he's rejecting me. See? And it took her about 2 minutes for her to realize, that is the devil. I don't have to focus in on that. In Jesus' name, go. And just like that, she is free. See, what the enemy wants to try and put on you is like, well, it never actually left. You still got that problem. And you see, she prayed for you to be free from smoking yesterday, but I'm still smoking this morning. Or you can say, God set me free, and I no longer have to yield my members, as Paul says in Romans, anymore as instruments for unrighteousness. But today, my members are going to be yielded as instruments of to God for righteousness' sake. And so we start focusing in on him instead of focusing in on the enemy. But when the enemy does come, we can recognize him and resist him and tell him to go. And so that's what's good, because when the enemy comes to steal what God is doing, you resist him, but you don't look for him. So many Christians, and I'm not going to do this afternoon, but I have done this on a few occasions when I've spoken in conferences, and I said, all right, how many of you have sinned today? We have become so sin conscious. But we think, well, I'm... You see, the enemy tells us, you're just a sinner. You must have sinned. I mean, even if I can't remember what sin I did, I must have done something wrong. Because otherwise I'd be perfect. Isn't that how we think? So when I ask you, who have you sinned? Everybody thinks, well, I don't know what I did, but I must have done something wrong. So I just put my hand up because I am a sinner. But I want to tell you something. God does not work like that. God does not work like that. In fact, if you have sinned, the Holy Spirit who dwells within you would have convicted you of a specific sin. That's what he does. He would have said, Michelle, you had a wrong attitude towards that driver who pulled off in front of you. Now just forgive him. Just get your cleansing and keep moving. The Holy Spirit never ever convicts you that you're just a big sinner. The devil's the one who's telling you, you're sinners. You're all sinners. You're all useless. You'll never be holy because, you know, you are just a sinner. You're always going to be a sinner. And you'll always be just a little under par, just a little less than holy. See, that's what the devil wants to tell you, because he wants to make you sin conscious. He wants to take your camera of your life and focus in on your sin. Well, you're just a dirty old rotten sinner. You'll never be anything better. So guess what? If you focus in on the sin, that's exactly what you're going to do. But you know what? I have not sinned today, because the Holy Spirit hasn't convicted me of one thing that I've sinned in today. I might have sinned, but I don't know it. Because he hasn't convicted me of sin. And if it was sin, he would have told me. Because, you see, the Spirit of God leads me into all truth. So if there's some area in my life that's wrong, he would have told me about it. And I just confess my sin. And what does the Word say? He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. See, I kind of tricked you, but all of us. And I was like this for so long too. I was so sin conscious. And as long as I'm sin conscious, I'm not Christ conscious. If I'm sin conscious, that's how the enemy gets me to think, well, I can't really witness. I don't have the power to heal. I can't go out and lead somebody to Jesus. I mean, look at my life. I do this and I did that and I've done the other thing. And I'm so sin conscious. And what I'm doing is scratching in my belly button. Who of you washed your belly button lately? Your belly button, you call it a belly button, don't you? And so many of us, we're just looking for our belly button. It's down here, it's underneath somewhere, and we're scratching out the lint, and we're just so introverted because we're looking at our belly buttons. Instead of, and this is where our camera of our life is focused, right here. And we've got pictures of belly buttons developing in our lives. And we're seeing the sin and the lint and the dirt and the, and some of us, you know, really have got bad ones. We think, Beverly, if you could see inside my belly button, there's no telling what you'd find. Do you get my point? We focus, we introverted. We like, we're focusing right here instead of out there on Christ. And we're so sin-conscious instead of being so Christ-conscious. I love the illustration. See, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to act as an umpire in our life. So that when we sin, he blows the whistle just like the umpire does. And he says, you had a bad attitude there. You said a wrong thing, or you did a wrong thing, or you shouldn't be so cruel to your husband, or whatever. He blows the whistle loud and clear so that, you know what that feeling's like. Oh, it's such a yuck feeling. And I can't wait to get rid of it. You know that yuck feeling? It's just like it hits you. And then I just say, oh God, forgive me. Lord, let the blood of Jesus cleanse me. And I receive your cleansing. In Jesus' name, I receive your spirit. It's as easy as that. I don't have to go into 3 days of fasting and praying and coming to the altar waiting on Sunday to cry my eyes out, to confess my sins to whoever. I just walk in the whole attitude of letting the blood of Jesus cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The picture is this, is a basketball game. And the ball players are playing. And you know, there's five on this team and there's five on that team. And they're bouncing that ball and they're just getting it up into the hoop and they're trying not to make mistakes. You know, they don't want to travel with the ball, take too many steps, or they don't want to foul the next one. They're trying not to, but they're playing. They're sweating. Have you ever seen we've just had the Final Four. Those guys are wet from head to toe. They are playing with all of their might because they want to win. And if they travel, and if they make a mistake, and if they infringe on the rule, they've got referees watching every move, and they blow the whistle. Corner's whistle. Ball game comes to a stop. You made a mistake. Okay, the other team gets the ball, and we carry on with the game again. Now, here's the deal. What good would a basketball player be if he kept his rule book in his back pocket, and he kept... Okay, now where's this rule book? Okay, let me have a look at that. What does it say? Okay, I'm allowed to bounce the ball once and take another step. I bounce the ball once and... He would be useless. He'd be absolutely useless. The coach would put him on the thing and say, go get on with your life. This is not your game. You know? But he gets out there and he plays as hard as he can. Now can you see? That's how we're supposed to play the game of life. So, here's the deal. We've already won. That's the good news. We got 10 out of 10. We have won the ball game. We are the champions. We've won. The enemy's defeated. The opponent is under our feet. But if we are only ever focusing on the opponent, he's the one who's going to win. So we got to get out there and play the ball game of life. with all of our might, with all of the Christ in me, the hope of glory, with all of that within me, letting it come out like a Vesuvius, come out like a volcano, just let life flow out of you. When you make a mistake, the Spirit of God will blow the whistle, and it's just that easy to get back restored. Now you're saying, oh boy, is she ever blonde? She's making this way too simple. I want to tell you, the Christian life is just that simple. We have made it very complicated. We've given you the 10 steps to holiness and the 12 steps to righteousness and this, and we've got all these things, and we've got to know how to do this, and we've got to know what's going to happen in the end times. And you know, I'm thinking, who cares what's going to happen in the end times? If you can't even keep your house clean, you know, what's the good of the end times prophecy stuff? Oh boy, it's true. You've got to know how to live. And so he says, go and live your life. Play, focus on Christ. Keep your eyes on him. Live your life to the fullest. And if you sin, you have an advocate. If you sin, the blood of Jesus cleanses you. Don't become devil conscious. Don't become sin conscious. But become Christ conscious. And just enjoy your life. He is so much fun to be with. You see, if you're always looking out there to when you're perfect and you're without sin, you're going to postpone living. Instead of, I want to tell you, the destination is heaven. But the journey for us is the destination. And in this journey of life that we're on before we get to heaven, the journey is the destination. So don't postpone living until you get to heaven. Enjoy every life to the full today. Enjoy it. Live life to the full. Hear his voice. Walk by the Spirit. And it doesn't mean to say that every single waking moment I'm going to be witnessing to somebody or doing something spiritual or praying or reading my Bible. No, you know, sometimes the most spiritual thing I can do is go and take a nap. I'm telling you. It's just the most spiritual thing. Because I say, Lord, what should we do right now? And if he tells me to go take a nap, I take it with gusto. I say, yes! Close the door. Pull down the covers. I'm going to take a wonderful nap. And I'm not guilty about it. The problem is, if we're always thinking we've got to be doing something else when you do take a nap, then we take it with guilt. And the enemy is able to put condemnation on us. And we always feel like we're playing truant. You know, you feel like, well, I should be doing something else. But if you learn to hear the shepherd's voice, and you say, all right, Jesus, you came that I might have life and I can have it more abundantly. And you're telling me to go and take a nap. I'm going to take an abundant nap. Or if you're telling me that I'm telling you the Lord has done this to me. I think we should go and get an ice cream at Brahms. And I think, yay, the biggest, the best, nice chocolate yogurt. Now you're thinking, oh, he wouldn't tell you to do that. Well, yes, he would. Why wouldn't he? Well, there's got to be somebody to witness to at Brahms. Well, no, there wasn't. It was just because I felt like an ice cream. And he said I could have one, so I enjoyed it. I know some of you are thinking, oh, me. You see, I'm giving you a license, and I'm giving you a liberty, and I'm giving you a reason just to enjoy life. And when I go into Brahms, there may be somebody to witness to, but there may not be. It may be that he and I just want to enjoy a Brahms ice cream together. But there's no condemnation. I don't live with condemnation. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I refuse to live in condemnation. But I live my life to the fullest. And the only thing I have to do is to hear his voice. And do whatever he tells me to do. And there are times when he says, clean my house, then I clean it with gusto. There are times when he says, go and take a nap, and I do it then. And then the times that he says, go witness to your next door neighbor, and I go and do that. But the key is, I live my life hearing his voice, and living it to abundant fullness. And I can just, I feel in my spirit man, there's a paradigm shift taking place in some of you saying, this is too good to be true. Surely I've got to be doing something spiritual all the time. But you know something? We are so messed up inside. Sometimes we think the only time we're doing anything spiritual is when we come to church. Then it's spiritual. Or if we're reading a Bible, then it's spiritual. Let me tell you, when you're making love to your husband, it's the most spiritual thing you can do. Oh, now I'm really blown up. Your husbands are going to love this tape. Do you see? God, He wants to be interested in every area of your life. And you're not just a spirit. You're a spirit, soul, and body. And if you allow the spirit to control your soul and your body, you're going to be an abundant person. But too many of us are allowing our body to control our spirit and our soul. And I'm telling you, your body is fickle. It has hormonal days. You get PMS. So if you allow your body, and you're having a PMS day, you know, and you allow your body to dictate to your spirit, but if you allow your body to dictate to your spirit, then you're going to be lower than a snake's belly. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if you, your spirit is controlling, so when I know that I'm having a hormonal day, when I know that my little fragile womanly and it's like, you know, then I say, Holy Spirit, boy, do I ever need your fullness today. I want to walk in your fullness. And Lord, control my attitudes today. Help me to make my words will be few. And help me, Lord, just to walk in joy and peace and not to become sensitive, overly sensitive, and feel like everybody's rejecting me just because I'm hormonal, understanding what's going on. My spirit is controlling my body. So important that we allow the Spirit of God to control us. You see, we are more than, our spirit man is more than just what you do in church. Your spirit man is Christ in you. Wherever I go, He loves me. And He loves having fun with me. So if it's a walk on the beach, if it's a, I don't know, I've already gone to eat that steak and ale and it's just me and Jesus. And He told me, let's go eat at steak and ale. And I said, okay, let's just do it. And I just had the best time just by myself with Him. But you had a steak that cost $10.95 and it's, yeah. Because He said we should do it. Life is so much fun when you just hear the Spirit and move by the Spirit. And you know, as long as the whistle isn't blowing, I'm having the time of my life. Don't wake me up. Really? Really? As long as the Holy Spirit isn't blowing the whistle, as soon as He blows the whistle, I stop. Backtrack. Oh God, yes, that's right. I'm so sorry. Cleanse me. And as simple as that, it's just like breathing. Then you just get up and you play the game of life again. And it's awesome. We're not to focus on sin. We're not to focus even on church. We're not to focus on, like Tracy said, the bank balance or the sickness or the rebellious children or the weight problem or having a fat day or a difficult husband or a bad hair day or whatever. Let's focus on Him and take our eyes off of us, and of ourselves. It's to bring every thought captive to Him. Let's look at a few verses. I want us to turn to Psalms 16 and verse 11. Psalms 16 and verse 11. Says this in Amplified Bible. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The path of life. He's going to show you the path of life. Psalms 36 and verse 9 says this. For with you, O God, is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. In you is the fountain of life. All right, turn over to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians. I always remember Galatians, Ephesians with it. General Electric. Is that how you do it? Okay. Says this. Paul says this in verse 20. 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, the Anointed One. In Him, I shared His crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but the Anointed One, Christ, lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in, by adherence to, and reliance on the and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ, the Anointed One, and He now lives in me. 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12. It's right near the back, right before Revelation. 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12 says this. And this is the testimony, or the evidence. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who possesses the Son has that life. He who does not possess the Son of God does not have that life. It seems to me that Jesus was very intent on us having life, and life to the abundance. You know, some of you just need to get happy about life. Just get happy about life. Get happy about enjoying your life. Life becomes so stressful for so many people. If you can, that you might have life and have it in abundance. And that doesn't just mean, well, I'm leading so many people to Jesus every day. No, that's living a life of abundance in every area. In my home, in my marriage, with my children. You know, it's such an interesting thing for me. Tracy and was talking one time, and she said, you know, Mom, the earliest, happiest, earliest memory that I can remember in my life, from my very youngest years, but the happiest memory that I can remember is when one day you sat down on the floor of my bedroom and we played dolls together and at a tea party. It was in Gweru in Zimbabwe. You told me that. You know what? I was doing the most spiritual thing that I could have done as a mother. I wasn't teaching them the Bible. I was having a tea party playing dolls with my daughter. I was pouring life into her. Do you see what I'm saying? And so many of us have gotten so wound up with, well, I've got to be doing things for the church and doing things, spiritual things. I want to tell you, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is to play with your kids, or go and see a good movie with your teenage daughter, or go and have your toenails done, or sharing life with each other. The Christian life is wonderful. It's simple. It's so good. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. You know what? I want to close with this, and then we're going to have a time of ministry. But the only thing that will stop life from flowing to you is, well, really two things. Number one is the enemy putting condemnation on you. And number two is unforgiveness in your heart. Now, we hit that a little bit last night, but I feel in my heart just to hit it again. Because when you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, it's like you taking a glass of poison and waiting for the other person to die. It'll kill you. It'll never kill the other person. And that's why it's so much the enemy's tactic to get us bent out of shape and get us offended with one another. And in the body of Christ, don't we? Isn't that so easy? You know, she didn't look at me right, or she didn't pull her weight, or she didn't come, or she didn't do, and we get bent out of shape with one another. And I'm telling you, we cannot allow that in our life. Jesus wants to give you abundant life. He wants to pour out His grace on you. But he says, if you will not forgive, neither can I forgive you. So you've got to deal with that root of unforgiveness in your life so that you can receive his abundance and his glory in your life. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your life, which you so freely give to us. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the abundance of the overflowing life. Lord, that picture of just water overflowing out of the glass, just overflowing, that's the kind of life. It's like there's sometimes that I feel like I've got 10 people's lives within me. There's so much within me, I don't know how I'll ever get it all out of me. I've got so much life within me. I want to tell you, you can live the same way. You can live the same way. And it's not always just doing what we would think spiritual things, but it's just hearing the Spirit and doing whatever he says to do. Hearing the Spirit and doing what he says to do. Maybe life for you today is baking a cake and taking it to your next door neighbor. Maybe life for you today is going up to somebody who you have had a hard time with and saying, I just love you and I'm sorry about the misunderstanding between us. Please will you forgive me and I'll release you as well. Maybe life for you today is going up to your mom and putting your arms around your mom and saying, Mom, thank you for everything that you've poured into my life. I've never yet said thank you, but thank you. I love you and I appreciate you. Maybe life for you today is cooking a wonderful meal for your family, or going home and putting your arms around your husband, kissing him on the cheek and say, I love you. I haven't told you that lately. What is life for you today? What is the Spirit of God telling you to do today? Because whatever he's telling you to do today is what he wants to do through you today. Maybe it's on the way home buying an ice cream and enjoying every lick and just being so happy because you're free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And the Word says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Maybe the life for you today is to lift your eyes off of the turbulent waves and set them on the face of Jesus to say, oh God, I know I'm going to be able to walk out of this valley. I'm going to be able to walk out of this rough sea. I'm going to be able to walk out of this dark situation I'm in with peace and with your grace and with your rest in my spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you right now to come and minister your life to these precious ladies. Minister your life, Lord, to everyone that is listening, even on tape right now. Minister to your life, to that one driving down the road. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into their lives. Breathe the life of the Spirit. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're not a fuddy-duddy and a killjoy, that you came to give us life. Now, Lord, I ask you to so fill us with yourself that we will just overflow with love to everyone that we touch today. Everyone. Our kids, our husbands, the person next door, the person in the convenience store. Life will flow out of us. Your life, the anointed life of Christ, who lives within us, will just flow out of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just feel this in my heart, and while Tracy just ministers to us on the piano and the song, I feel like I'm going to just invite you to come. And if you want to just receive an anointing of the Spirit of God for the life of Christ to be arise within you, then I'm going to invite you to come stand in front, and I'm going to pray, lay my hands on you, and just release the anointing of fresh oil on you. One day, I was taking Bradley off to school. This was before he had his driver's license. And I was telling him and teaching him about how God is in everything. If you've got eyes to see, He is in everything. And we were driving down the road that had recently been just retarred and resurfaced. And they had these little signs next to the road, warning signs saying, fresh oil. And I said, Brad, that's the word for us today. Let's receive His fresh oil in our lives today. I'm telling you, if you've got eyes to see, you'll see Him in everything. And today you need a touch of fresh oil by the Holy Spirit. Fresh oil of life. Fresh oil of healing. The oil of the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage and removes every burden from off your shoulders. And I want to just release that anointing oil on you. So if that's what you'd like, you can come whenever you're ready. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you, and thank you for listening.